thank you, Lord.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you. For this is the day that you've made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. Thank you, Father, for a portion of health and strength. Minds that same. Person of the Holy Spirit. Who give us heavenly energy. To live, Lord, in an obedient way to you on earth. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. Make us fit vessels to be used by you. Lord, send your word as you send rain and snow from heaven. Water the earth to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall your word come from you. And it will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish all that you send it to accomplish. Thank you, Lord, for being a God in the midst of us. I decrease, you increase. Less of me, more of you. Have your way in this place through the preached word, through the praises that are rendered unto your name. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Every heart say amen. Amen. Come on, God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Come on, we can do better than that. God is good and he's worthy to be praised. God's glory fills the earth. And certainly, I'm thankful and I know you are. To be included in what God is doing in these days and in this time. Certainly we thank God for these preachers, the persons of Reverend Lee Walker, Reverend McCoy, Pastor Emeritus Walker. And on next Sunday, he will stand where I'm standing to share with us the word of God. Thank God. Amen. Come on. Come on. Amen. We're excited about it. We continued the legacy of Jesus' day. And he was sharing with me earlier that everybody got a day. And he saw the need to have Jesus' day. And certainly we thank God for that. And thank God for his presence. His support. Amen. Come on, bless God for it. He's such a gracious spirit and humorous. Amen. You're talking about make you laugh. Amen. Amen. Thank God for it. Thank God for these musicians and the choir that have sang so melodiously. Thank God for the deacons and trustees who have devoted us. Thank God for the environmental safety team, the ushers, the media ministry. Thank God for all of you. It's good for us to be alive. Amen. Y'all don't seem too enthused. Amen. It's good for us to be alive. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Boy, it's been some good singing. Make me want to sing some more. My soul happy. Amen. If you don't feel anything by now, there's something wrong with you. Amen. One of my good friends would say, with all of this fire, if you're not on fire, it's obvious you're wet wood. Dr. Marvin Wiley. Amen. Amen. What a time we're having in this place. God sent another soul to be baptized. Amen. Amen. And I don't know if Sister Tony is here. Is Sister Tony here? Amen. But she works at that school so hard and diligently. to make sure that those children not only receive a passing grade, but they are saved. Amen. Love it. Amen. Amen. Where is she? Wave your hand, Sister Tony. Amen. Come on, bless God for Sister Tony. Amen. Wonderful soul. Wonderful soul. Amen. Matthew 15, beginning with verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help us. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Look at someone, if you will, and say, a crumb blessing. Look at another and say, a crumb blessing. Come on, help me shout at the virtual audience, a crumb blessing. Amen. Amen. A crumb blessing. A crumb blessing. Some of you don't think you have anything unless you have it all. We fail to realize and recognize that Jesus can work with crumbs. He can do more with crumbs than we can do with the whole loaf. Don't have to have it all. Just a few specks of it. A crumb. Blessing. This particular passage is an encounter Jesus had with the woman of Canaan, a Gentile woman who had a daughter grievously vexed with an evil spirit. The King James Version called evil spirit devils. We understand from translation and interpretation that devils is not speaking of the singular form or the singular being, Satan, who is the devil, but it is speaking of his imps. Those who were fallen with him when he rose in pride against God. I think I need to pause parenthetically to say to us that if you don't believe demons exist, you are sadly mistaken. After looking at all of what's happening around, all that has come up against you, and for you to say demons don't exist. You are sadly and spiritually mistaken. This woman's daughter was grievously vexed with an evil spirit. And so this woman, being a Canaanite woman, Syrophoenician woman, asked Jesus to deliver her daughter from the demons that tormented her. The ironic thing about the text is that this woman is not given a name. We only know her by her ethnicity and by the plea she made for her daughter's deliverance. We say she's Miss No Name. Most of us have a problem with not being recognized by name, but this woman is Miss No Name. Matter of fact, later in the text, Jesus seems to have called her a dog. Called her not by her name, but give her the association of being a dog, meaning that she was not a Jew. But this woman came to Jesus asking Jesus to deliver her daughter from demon possession. The most outstanding feature of her plea was the persistency of her plea. The Bible says she besought him. It means that she pleaded with him continuously. It means that she sought him in the imperfect tense in the Greek, which means continuous action. Her persistency is really emphasized by the fact that she pleaded continuously in spite of the various rejections and refusals she received while pleading her case. This woman teaches us persistence pays off. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, persistence pays off. Persistence pays off. Very few people would continue in faith after the first few rebuffs, but this woman, she continued on after she received the rebuffs, after she received the objection from the disciples, even after she was offensively referred to as a dog by Jesus Christ, she continued on. When faith is feeble, fickle, frail, and fragile, it doesn't take much to deter, distract, or divert you from your blessings. Some people can't get their breakthrough because they're too worried about what folk call them. They're too worried about the treatment. They're too worried about the response or the responses from the one they are seeking a blessing from. But this woman, the Bible says, she besought him, she pursued him persistently. She had faith that would not quit. She faced three major obstacles. First of all, the silence of Jesus. Secondly, the objection of the disciples. And thirdly, the offensive response of Jesus. Notice, first of all, the silence of Jesus. He answered her not a word. When the woman first approached Christ for help, he answered her not a word. He refused to answer, but as we know from the context, Christ did not when they give her the silence treatment, because he only delayed his response to her prayer in order to awaken and strengthen her faith. Sometimes God, he gives us the silent treatment to test our faith. Most of us are like spoiled brats. We want it when we want it. And we don't respect God's due time. We want it when we want it. We want God to come as quick as we ask him for what we are asking him for. But sometimes God will delay and be silent in the delay to awaken our faith and trust in him. He wants to know, are you real? Are you sincere? Are you really about what you're seeking? He delayed. It was silent. You know, it's hard for us to think that our faith is strengthened by the silence of Christ in response to our prayer. We think the more answers we get, the stronger our faith becomes. And that's not totally wrong. It's not entirely incorrect, for answers do strengthen our faith, but answers can give great encouragement. But silence in response to our prayers also strengthen our faith. Silence is not denial, as the woman learned. Silence checked her sincerity and forced her to be more fervent. Jesus' silence toward the Canaanite woman's prayer should encourage us in our praying, because he tests us. He tests us. There have been many prayers we've prayed, and it seemed as if God was so far off. It seemed as if God didn't say a word. It was silent. Silent. And our faith is tested with silence, because silence exposes most of us as having little faith, for we give up so quickly. Oh, if you don't get what you want, if you don't get what you pray for the first or second time you pray, some of you stop praying. You don't have that continuation in your prayer life. Matter of fact, when you study Matthew chapter 7, it says, ask. That word ask is also imperfect tense, which means to keep on asking. You don't just ask one time, but you keep on asking. You keep on asking. That's why he gave the parable in Luke 18:1 that men ought pray and not faint. And then he gives this parable of a woman who, because of her importunity, was rewarded her requests of an unjust judge. Because persistence and consistency reveals the magnitude of your faith. She received the silent treatment. How do you feel when God says nothing? Can you handle your situations, your problems, when God says nothing? When Christ says nothing? When instead of answering you immediately, can you handle the weight? The silent wait period. He said not a word. She looking at the Savior, looking at the Messiah, and she has made her plea, and he says not a word. But not only do you see the silence of Jesus, he had 12 men who represented the church. You see the objection of of the 12, the 12 disciples, the men around Jesus, notice what they said in verse 23. They said, "And his disciples came, besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us." Now, the disciples, they put themselves in the position of Jesus Christ by saying, "She cries after us." You have to watch it, because we are guilty of that in church. You know, we think people are coming because of us. We think people want deliverance because of us. We think people are looking at us and they desire us. But this woman was not at the disciples. She was not crying after the disciples. She was crying after Jesus. Listen, more people can get healed if we stop elevating ourselves to where Jesus is. Because people are not looking for us. They are looking for the healing power of Jesus Christ. We got to get out of the way. Look at somebody and say, get out of his way. Get out of their way, because there's no healing and deliverance in you. You're looking for the same thing the woman is looking for. Get out of the way. They said, she cried after us. It's not about us. And they'll see a few chapters over in chapter 17 when this man brought his demon-possessed son to the man that was down at the foot of the mountain, that they could not deliver the boy from demon possession. She wasn't crying after them. She was crying after him. Look at somebody again and say, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Come on, look at them. Look in their eyes. Look, don't look at their mask. Look in their eyes. Tell them, get out of the way. I know you think you all of that in the back. Get out of the way. I know you think you super spiritual. Get out of the way. I know you think you are the breakthrough person that person needs. Get out of the way. Because she was not after them. She was after him. Now, evidently they were aggravated, and their lifelong training caused them to judge this lady as being unworthy of Jesus' help, because she was a Gentile. And on top of that, she was a woman. And in that day, women and men did not associate publicly, nor did Gentiles and Jews associate publicly. But here this woman had the audacity to come to Jesus in the day, pleading for him. And so they went to Jesus and said, send her away. And Jesus seemed to ignore her. So the disciples assumed that he would not help such a despised person. So no way. They did not want anything to do with her. They didn't want to be bothered with her. This woman didn't qualify, as long as they were concerned, she didn't qualify. And rather than helping her get to Jesus, they were pushing her away. You know, when you run across people in the world, if you're not careful, you'll try to play judge by how they dress, by how they talk, by the company they keep. If you're not careful, you'll try to be judged like these disciples. You'll try to determine who deserves to be saved and who don't deserve to be saved. They said, she don't deserve to be saved. Send her away. Daughter was messed up. And listen, this woman, she was hearing them say, You know how we do it. We'll say it, you know, supposed to be quiet and low key, but we'll say it in a tone so the person we're talking about can hear what we're saying. They heard, she heard them say, send her away. And you can imagine how she felt, how greatly discouraged she was, knowing that those who were following Jesus were the people who would be driving her away. Send her away. But she didn't give up. She did not base her faith on the attitudes of others toward her. And one thing you must remember in your Christian walk is that you can't let others discourage you by their bad attitudes and their negative talk. Your faith must not rest on how people treat you, but on the word of God. You got to fight your way. Do I have any witnesses here? Somebody here, you have been through hell and high water, but Satan thought he would deter you from coming today, but you're here today. And not only are you here, you just kept on pressing. You just kept on praying. You just kept on praising. You just kept on hearing preaching. And your faith has become stronger and stronger. They didn't want you to come. Satan didn't want you to come. But you're sitting up in here, up in here, up in here. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm up in here. Because you didn't base your faith on people's attitudes, how people treated you, but you put it on the word of God, and now you have a case of the can't help it. You just can't help yourself. You don't have quit in you because you have experienced the Lord. She was opposed by the 12. But here it is, on top of that, you see the offensive response of Jesus when he opened his mouth and answered her. He says, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Mark's gospel adds that Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet that we take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. These two statements by Jesus seem to have demoted the Gentile woman's position. He looked at her and said, it is not meet. It is not the custom. It is not the practice that we give what's reserved for the Jews to Gentiles. He seems to argue against the woman obtaining help, but her faith was strong. And how often, brothers and sisters, it seems like we're not going to get it. But when you have strong faith, they can call you what they want to call you. Jesus said, you're a dog. She said, you can call me whatever, but I need a blessing. You can call me a dog all you want to, but I'm not going anywhere. You can call me out of my name, but I'm desperate need for my daughter. Listen, when you got a need, you got to keep on going. Regardless of what you're called and regardless of how you're treated. She said, you can call me all you want a dog, but a dog eat the crumbs from the master's table. Thank God for crumbs. And I'm like this woman. I don't have to have the full meal. I can make it off crumbs. I don't have to have the full load. myself, I can make it off the crumbs. And the crumbs that fall from the master's table, as long as they come from the master's table, I can deal with crumbs as long as Jesus got something to do with it. Because Jesus specializes in working with a little bit. There was a woman in Zarephath that had a little meal and a little oil, and she had to fix the prophet Elijah a cake first. When she ran in and fixed the oil in the meal and prepared him a cake, that was meal in the barrel and that was oil in the cruse. God specializes in working with a little bit. There was a boy that was on the side of the hill that had two fish and five small tea cakes. And Jesus said, "What do you have?" And they found the boy with two fish and five barley loaves. And they put it in Jesus' hand. Now in the boy's hand, 5,000 would have starved. But in the hand of Jesus, he was able to set a banquet feeding the 5,000, not including the women and children. Ain't God all right? He can take a little bit and work a miracle with a little bit. You ought to high five somebody and tell them, it don't take a whole lot for me, only a little. I'm looking for crumb blessings. When you put your crumb in the Lord's hands, he can work a miracle. Ain't God all right? Is there anybody here who can be a witness that he took your little and gave you a lot? He took my little life and your little life in his hand to a hill called Calvary. He let him nail his hand and rivet his feet and put a crown of thorns on his head. He died that Friday with your little life in my little life in his hands. They took him down from the cross and put his lifeless body in the borrowed tomb. The tomb held him for Friday night. It held him Saturday morning. It held him Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, he got up with our little life in his hand with all power. Ain't God all right? If you give him your little, he'll pick you up and turn your life around and put your feet on solid ground. She said, give me the crumbs. And the crumbs delivered her daughter. You can call me what you wanna. You can say what you wanna. You can do what you wanna. Just give me some crumbs. Is there anybody here want some crumbs? Reach up and grab your crumbs. Reach up and grab your crumbs. Reach up and grab your crumbs. And let me ask you my question. Then I'm going to my seat. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yeah.
The door. Give me the crumbs. Give me the crumbs. We can make little big. We can take the little and do what needs to be done in your life. Give me the crumbs. Give me the crumbs. See, some of us are too lofty and too high, too prideful and too proud to take little. We only think God works in big things, but He can do miraculous things and work miracles with little. Give me the crumbs. That's enough. The crumbs. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life while the blood is running warm in your veins. Come. He will save you. He will take your little life like He did all of us who are saved. And He'll take it into His hands. And He'll give you a better life, a new life, if you just only give Him the little you have. The Bible says if you desire to save your life, you lose it. But if you lose it for His sake, you'll gain it. Come, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come. Second, if you're here in the need of a church home, come. Thirdly, if you're backslidden, the altar of the Lord is open to you. Come. Come. The doors stands ajar. Come on. You can come by letter, Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. Come on, come on. Help me, choir.
Give me you.
Come on, come on, the doors.
Everything else can wait.
Come on.
Give me you. I hope it's not too late.
Come on.
Lord, give me you.
Listen to her. Come on.
Lord, give me you.
Don't you put off today for tomorrow.
And give me you.
Tomorrow is not promised. Yesterday is gone. You only have today. Come on.
Give me you.
Hallelujah.
I hope it's not too late. Lord,
don't you leave this place unsaved. Lost in your sins. Give the Lord your life. Come on, come on. Come on.
Give me you. Everything else can wait.
I can put everything else on hold, but not the Lord. His priority.
Hope is not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you.
Say it, say it, say it, say it.
Lord, give me you. 'Cause it's me, oh Lord.
Say that. Come on, the doors of the Lord's house. Come on.
'Cause it's me, oh Lord. I'm on my knees crying out to you. Give me you. Everything else can wait.
Glory to His name. Does everyone have a couplet, a communion couplet? If you don't, raise your hand quickly. If you don't have a communion couplet, raise your hand. Come on. Raise your hands high if you can. If you don't have a couplet, come on. Raise your hand. One in the balcony. Amen. They're coming to you. Everyone have a couplet. Stand to your feet if you will. Father, we thank you for allowing us, Lord, the privilege of observing the two ordinances that you have given to the church. Baptism and Holy Communion. Lord, we receive this by asking you to forgive us of our sins. We ask that you give us strength to mend brokenness. Lord, that we will be in right relationship with you and right relationship with one another. Father, we pray that our partaking of this will be to your glory, to honor you for giving us Christ Jesus, Christ giving his life, and by receiving his life we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus and his disciples were in the upper room eating of the Passover meal right before he went and suffered. Jesus at that time reclined around the table with his disciples, took bread, he lifted and he blessed it. He broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he says, "Take, eat in remembrance of me." The Bible says after they had supped together, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Take, drink." Father, thank you for what eyes have seen, ears have heard, hearts have received. Thank you for your manifest presence. Truly you are God in the midst of us. Father, we thank you for bringing us in safely by your grace and mercy. And we ask, O Lord, that you send us to our various places of stay, that when we reach our humble abodes, you'll give us rest. Lord, we'll be able to think back over the sermon, the word. We'll chew the cud like a cow because it tastes good. And Lord, we'll try to live it out in our lives each and every day. We thank you for the young man that was baptized today and the young lady. And we pray your blessings upon them. Give them strength from this day forth. Lord, that they will live as mighty warriors of your cause and salvation. Lord, will be theirs forever. We pray for those who know them, that they will see the light in their life and know that you're real and you save. Use them as marquees as they go, Lord, to share your word, to share you. And Lord, as we go from this place, we pray and ask for your divine guidance, your mercy, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, that it will rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. And every heart was saved.